haven't told them what they're doing yet, but I'm going to set 200 cucumbers in front of somebody and say, deal with these.
How to cook gourmet for 200 people. And Haynesboro opens the search for a new assembly member. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro is looking for letters of interest from Haynes citizens who want to be appointed to a newly vacant assembly seat. A Juneau Superior Court judge recently ruled that the former seat holder, Greg Goodman, did not fill residency requirements when he was elected last fall to seat E. The challenge was brought by Karen Hess, a write-in candidate who lost that seat by around 100 votes. The seat must be filled by appointment by June 13th. Following an executive session on Tuesday night, the Borough Assembly returned to their regular meeting to map out a plan. Mayor Jan Hill.
The Assembly will be determining how to proceed. So now I would like to start the discussion of the options before us. And then we need to make a decision before we leave here tonight.
The Assembly went through their options, which included a special election before October, appointing someone immediately, or soliciting for letters of interest. Assemblyman Steve Vick.
We have 30 days to do it, so a special election wouldn't do it. So I think appointment is the option. We do have two letters now. We could do it tonight if we wanted to. I do like the idea of an open public process. I think we should put letters of interest out.
Earlier in the meeting, during public comments, several residents urged the Assembly to consider reimbursing Hess for her legal costs associated with the suit. The deadline for letters of interest to be appointed to Haynes Assembly seat E is June 8th. Karen Hess and former Assemblyman Norm Smith have already submitted letters of interest. Any Haynes citizen who qualifies to vote in municipal elections and who qualifies as a resident of the borough according to code is eligible. The Assembly will then review the letters on June 13th before making an appointment. The new member will serve until the regular October municipal election. Letters can be faxed, emailed, or hand-delivered to the Haynes Borough Administrative Offices by June 8th. A new member of the Skagway Assembly was just appointed. Former Assemblyman Mark Schaefer will fill the seat left by Colette Hisman when she resigned earlier this month. In her letter to the borough, she said, quote, "I know that in the foreseeable future, I won't be able to devote the time and effort I believe is necessary to fulfill the duties needed to best serve the community's interest." Schaefer will fill the seat until the October municipal election, when he's eligible to campaign for the seat. In the meantime, he leaves an open seat on the Planning and Zoning Commission, which the mayor will have to fill by appointment. Hisman most recently served on the Civic Affairs Committee, Finance Committee, Health, Education, and Welfare Committee. The Haynes mayor, tourism director, visitor center kiosk host, and a bunch of tour operators welcome the first cruise ship of the season to Haynes Wednesday morning. Holland America's Zandam started the year off and will be in port every Wednesday until mid-September. But before the mayor got there, before the ship even got there, there were a few others on the dock getting ready for the first cruise ship of the year.
Some of us wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning to come down from 27 Mile to go to work. I am in town, so I wake up at 4 a.m. to go to work.
Phil Wild was one of them.
I'm a longshoreman, also known as a stevedore.
He works for the crew of six or seven on the dock, where the job is to tie the ship up, get the ramp in place, and cast ships off at night. It's his fourth season on the Port Chilcoot dock wrangling cruises. Those cruise ship cowboys arrive to the dock an hour before each ship comes in.
Just in case.
They're like the dock elves working in the wee hours to prepare the port for another ship. They're unlikely members of the tourism workforce and can sometimes go unnoticed.
We have one person who's a forklift driver and then one person who drives a boat. When the ship comes in, you get thrown one or two lines. You grab the lines and you start tying them to the boulders. The ship soaks itself in. Okay, you have to get into a boat and go out to the front of the ship and pick up a ball, which is attached to a heaving line, and grab those lines and go out to the dolphin.
The dolphin's a separate piece of dock that stands alone in the water near Port Chilcoot Dock.
It looks like a pier dock. We nickname it the dolphin. And we cruise out there with a boat, and we crawl up a very long ladder sometimes, or a very short ladder sometimes, depending on the tide. And then most of the times, usually three lines, possibly four or five, depends if it's going to be a very strong, windy day. And the stern crew there's usually about, can come up to five or seven lines.
The Zandam, for example, is a 61,000-ton ship that's almost 800 feet long.
And some of these lines, the old ones, sink in the water. They don't float, so they're extremely heavy. It takes about three people, for each and every line.
But the ground crew also deals with emergency cruise ship stops, placing ramps into swaying ships of various sizes, and with ship captains that sometimes demand the impossible.
And so the question was, is like, the guy was really asking us, can we get the ramp on quick? Can we get the ramp on quick? And it was like, no, if we had a tap that we can flood the place with 3 billion gallons of water to raise that ship up, we would, but we don't have that.
Wilde got his training on the job. There's a lot more those guys can handle besides cruise ships, he says.
If you're down in the lower 48, the longshoremen do cranes, we offload connexes, we do forklifts, offloading, onloading, anything and everything that goes onto a ship.
But Phil's not down south. He grew up in Haines, and he lives in Haines, and until something like a pipeline needs his help, he waits from the shore for ships to appear on the horizon while most of us are sleeping. And while I had him, I just had to ask.
Okay, you gotta help me out. You know those round things that are on the lines?
Round things on the...
Like these rubber kind of discs that are...
Oh, those! Those were made to prevent rats from scurrying across the lines and jumping to the ships years and years and years ago. Now, I don't think we have a lot of rats in Haines, Alaska. I'd imagine it'd be tree squirrels. But anyway, sometimes they even use 5-gallon bucket lids. But that's to prevent rats and vermin from escaping out of Haines, Alaska and getting out of here for taking a cruise.
Phil and his coworkers will welcome ships in 23 more times this summer. The 6 different ships that'll port in Haines are considerably smaller than the bigger ships that port in Skagway. There, at least one a day until September. What better way to recover from last week's American Craft Beer Week than the hair of the dog? The 19th annual Haines Craft Beer and Homebrew Fest is this weekend at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds in Haines. The weekend's events range from gourmet pairings to a fun run to bottomless suds and awards for the best homebrews. The whole thing starts Friday night with the gourmet beer banquet dinner at Harriet Hall. More specifically, it starts with a German-style pretzel made from sourdough from a Haines resident.
We're going to serve that with a couple different kinds of mustard and some coarse sea salt. Should be a good way to start off the brewer's dinner, I think.
Adam Richard and the Fireweed are behind the menu this year. It's their first year to prepare the meal for 200 people, and one of their missions is to use as many local ingredients as they can.
And then we're going to do a soup, Dungeness crab and fiddlehead fern chowder, and we're going to serve that in a bread bowl that we're using spent grains from the brewery to make.
That recipe calls for 15 pounds of shelled crab, and the crew of 3 to 10 doing things like baking several hundred individual bread loaves for the bowls.
Start spreading them out. Once they cool, they go on every surface you have.
Adam worked on the menu through the winter, planning the use of various beers in each of the courses. 2 beers will accompany each one, even the salad course.
Our salad course is going to be a black cod ceviche, another local ingredient, and we're just going to turn that into a simple ceviche with lemon and lime juice, parsley, cilantro, garlic, and shallots, and serve that in a cucumber vessel. We're going to take a cucumber and cut one end on the bias, the other end flat, hollow it out. I hired a couple grunts to I haven't told them what they're doing yet, but I'm going to set 200 cucumbers in front of somebody and say, deal with these. So
Adam is not new at this. He started cooking about 15 years ago, at the bottom. As he puts it, he went from flipping burgers to lying his way into a real kitchen where he found more inspiration.
My first job was for an actual scratch chef that could make any kind of food from memory. And I remember the first day he told me to make like 3 pounds of roux, and I asked him, what's roux? And he nearly fell over, but he kind of took me under his wing and started teaching me to cook. And he kind of planted the seed that I should go to cooking school. So when I moved to Portland, I spent 2 years in a French culinary school and got out of that and spent a couple years working at some nice restaurants there, and decided to leave that behind for Alaska, and came up here, and I've been working pretty much at the Fireweed ever since I've been in Haines.
So back to that menu.
Still trying to continue with the Alaska theme. We're doing braised bison ribs. Going to do that with a blueberry barbecue sauce. I managed to wrangle about 25 or 30 pounds of local blueberries from last season, frozen, and going to take all the liquid that comes out of the bison when we braise all the ribs, skim all the fat off, dump all the blueberries in, and add the molasses and all that good stuff, and reduce it down to a nice gallon or two of barbecue sauce.
And the final extravaganza for the evening is dessert.
We're going to do a simple cherries jubilee, bake that till it's almost done, take it out of the oven, line all the pans up in front of the brewer's dinner, pour 2 bottles of brandy on it, and light it on fire in front of everybody. hopefully we'll get 6-foot flames out of it for a minute or two, and should all cook down and boil and roil, and then just serve a spoonful of that over a nice scoop of vanilla bean ice cream for dessert.
Now that you're drooling, I gotta break it to you that if you don't already have your ticket, you won't get to feast. 200 tickets went weeks ago, and the waiting list is in the dozens. But there's enough brew to last the whole weekend. The Slam and Salmon 5K or walk and 10K run starts at 9 a.m. Saturday. It's $10 for entry and t-shirt. Waivers are online at seakfair.org. Then the Great Alaska Craft Beer and Homebrew Festival fills the fairgrounds from 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday with samples from breweries around the state and nearby territory. There's live music from Honky Tonk Habit and Windy Valley Boys, and food for sale. Tickets are $28 for 21 and up. Meanwhile, judges will be testing homebrews on Friday and announcing winners on Saturday at the festival. There is also a shuttle service between downtown Haines and the fairgrounds running on Saturday. The Haines Skagway Fast Ferry is running a special for Skagway residents to get to and from Beer Fest. Tickets are $24 each way. A free town shuttle is available from the Haines dock. You can get more information on all Beer Fest activities at seakfair.org or search Haines Beer Festival in your online search engine. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS.